which is very close to actually Washington's farewell address. Now I want to turn to the way Jefferson deals with the Alien and Sedition Acts. First, looking at the Sedition Act, he argues that it's a violation of state rights. And more than that, that it's evidence of a high federalist conspiracy to undermine liberty and constitutional government. Jefferson's response is the famous Kentucky Resolutions, which invoke the notions of states' rights and nullification. So let's look at the Kentucky Resolution. Drafted in 1798, it states that whensoever the general government assumes undelegated powers, its acts are unauthoritative, void, and of no force. That the government created by this compact was not made the exclusive or final judge of the extent of the powers delegated to itself. But that is, in all other cases of compact among powers having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge for itself, as well as of infractions as of the mode and measure of redress. Well, we'll explore this a little bit more in a couple minutes, but this is a very radical doctrine, because what Hamilton and the Federalists had always believed was that the Constitution, or acts of the constitutionality of legislative acts, would be judged by the Supreme Court. But Jefferson feels the Supreme Court cannot be the judge of the federal government because it's part of the federal government. Only the states can judge the constitutionality of acts. And we'll return to that in a moment. But first I want to look at something else. He seizes on the Sedition Act as a violation of the First Amendment, and I think not inappropriately so. One of the amendments to the Constitution, but Jefferson feels the Supreme Court cannot be the judge of the federal government because it's part of the federal, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging act as a violation, end quote, guarding in the same sentence and on the same words of nullification, that the states have the right to nullify federal laws that they feel are unconstitutional. And I quote, where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, a nullification of the act is the rightful remedy. That every state has a natural right, in cases not within the compact, to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of powers by others within their limits. Well, this is a doctrine which will become incredibly divisive in the 19th century, as Southerners increasingly begin to attempt to nullify tariff laws that they find unacceptable. But Jefferson goes farther. He also seizes on the Alien Act as an attack on the liberty of immigrants, and moreover, as an attack on the liberty of all Americans. It's part of a larger conspiracy that the friendless alien has indeed been selected as the safest subject of a first experiment, but the citizen will soon follow. Other has already followed, for already has the Sedition Act marked him as its prey. That confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism. Free government is founded in jealousy and not in confidence, right? It takes eternal vigilance to keep ourselves free. Now, this is interesting because actually, in Notes on the State of Virginia, Jefferson had opposed immigration. He said, here I will beg leave to propose a doubt. The present desire of America is to produce rapid population by a great importation of foreigners as possible. But is this founded in good policy? It is for the happiness of those united in society to harmonize as much as possible in matters which they must of necessity transact together. As for immigrants, they will bring with them the principles of the government they leave, imbibed in their early youth. Or if able to throw them off, it will be in exchange for an unbounded licentiousness, passing, as is usual, from one extreme to another. It would be a miracle were they to stop precisely at the point of temperate liberty. And this is, again, one of the remarkable turnabouts we find in Jefferson's career. He is able, and I don't think he's being hypocritical, he's able, when circumstances require, to utterly convince himself that what he used to think was true is, in fact, false. Finally, in his private correspondence, Jefferson acknowledges that there is, in fact, a deep and sectional basis to the partisan divisions between Federalists and Jeffersonians. And it's in this light that he counsels patience. To John Taylor, a great sectional hothead of Virginia, he writes in 1798, "It is true that we are completely under the saddle of Massachusetts and Connecticut, and that they ride us very hard. But our present situation is not a natural one. The body of our countrymen is substantially Republican through every part of the Union." And here's that